I will always be holy forever. There's much that we need to learn. He recorded, Lord, for our understanding. Of doctrine, reproof, correction, instructions. Help us, Lord, to see the dynamics of what happens when a person backslides. Thank you for what you're going to do. Speak through your servant and to the hearts of your people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all the saints say. As we go to our first slide, before I even quote that, there's a song that I've been hearing and just resonating in my mind. I think about just part of it, which says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it to thy throne above." Somewhere along the line in the course of our dealing with backsliding, please get out of your mind at this point that a backslider is that person that's out in the street somewhere or in a tavern somewhere. No. The Lord starts off where that I think is very interesting. It starts off where we need to really pay close attention. So we'll be walking through this and be a part, we're in part two, we'll have to do a part three because we're going to the mind of this person who's writing this. Okay. So says, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart, but," you know that conjunction with a function. "As for me," that personal pronoun, "my feet have almost stumbled, and my steps had nearly slipped. For I envied the ignorant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He said, "I have a personal testimony. And this testimony that I have is that the position I held and all of this, says something went wrong in my thinking. And instead of praising God, my eyes went to another area. And I began to think on that, the hook, the look." And he said, and watch, and we're going to go through this morning what happens to even the best of God's people. The best. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. Review. It is possible for a follower, is it possible for a follower of Christ to become a backslider? Can a person, this person lose his or her salvation? Bottom line, no, you won't lose your salvation. Exploring the term backsliding. One who's truly born again, a child of God who falls into sin, is a backslider. It may be an outrageous and gross sin known to everyone, or it may be merely coldness of heart, a lukewarmness of heart instead of burning fire of love for God. But when a Christian loses any of his joy or loses part of his sweet fellowship with God or falls into sin, then he is a backslider. He's a backslider. Remember, whenever a statement is said like that, we say, "Well, why do you say it? What is your burden of proof?" And you keep hearing me say Proverbs 17. You'll find that in Proverbs 17. And it talks about the whole idea of 7:17. And it talks about the whole idea of a truth. Whenever there's truth, there has to be evidence of the truth. Even when you go to court. If you don't have any paper or any evidence, it'll be thrown out. The judge won't even hear you. Judge is not interested in your emotions. Give me facts. So let's look at facts. And the facts take this time and the next time we meet. So let's do the hard, let's go on the hard side at this point. And let's walk on the dark side and see what happens in this area. Okay? So let's look at this verse. Becoming a backslider is never an accident. We talk. Here are the three. When there is, okay, how would you measure your fellowship with the Lord and why? It's still in the review. How would you measure? Do you think that you are a backslider? Yes or no? Then if you don't know, then what are you? You got to know one way or another. I think that it's so important that we keep this in mind because of the challenges that we have in our lives. We find that if we don't know where we are in the Lord, if we don't know how to get our act together, then what you're moving in is outside of the will of God. And when you're walking outside of the will of God, you begin to think outside of the will of God. And in our time together, that's what we want to look at. It's looking at how this person think outside of the will of God. The whole idea about coming together, even in school, is to challenge in our concepts and make it flow with the will of God. That's so important. We're working on a few things here, and just bear with us. We have some conflicts with our word program, and we'll be right back in. But the whole idea is that, am I a backslider? Yes or no? If you say yes, then how do you identify? Okay. If you say no, then the question is, how can you pinpoint, I am not a backslider? How do you prove that? How do you prove that? It's not a difficult, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know whether you are walking with the Lord or not walking with the Lord. And Satan waits for the opportunity of you hesitating. Well, we'll go through the three things here. When there is a failure to maintain the importance of God's word and provisions, Jeremiah 1-5. When our ministry becomes like a machine that functions without a heart. And then when there is an attitude of self-sufficiency. Now that's the end of our review from the time that we have talked about it. Now let's shift to our outline for today. The twofold testimony, the tremendous struggle, and the mental turmoil and dilemma. As we make a closer or take a closer look, observation of the subject of backsliding, let us consider the 73rd Psalm, the psalmist Asaph, Leviticus musician and choir director, shares his experience of backsliding, which might help us to avoid this pitfall. So the person who's writing this, this guy's position, where he's working, what his job is, David assigned him and a few others to take over the worship of the congregation. Can you imagine the number of people and everybody praising God and everything else? He's coming up with the songs and praising God and all of these things. He's from the Levitical line, whereas their job, and really they don't get paid like the Israelites. Israelites, they work things, they work it out in the fields and what have you, and they have land. The Levites, they had to trust God and the people to give what they're supposed to give. That's why God told them how much to give. And so he's doing his job. He's raising the praise, and people listen, praising God. The music is going. I can imagine it's loud and it's with joy. And while all of this is going on outside of him, he's saying there was something going wrong inside of me. You can do a job and people patting you on your back and saying what a wonderful person you are, and way back there, you are struggling. And you don't want to share with anyone. That's who this is. You're stuck. When you become stuck, I think about this morning. The weather have changed, and I was going to put the lining in this particular coat. And I've been doing it for so many times. You get it down to the science. Put the lining in, but start the lining, and all of a sudden, the zipper wouldn't go. And I said, "Oh, I know how to do things like this." And so it still wouldn't go. I tried every trick in the book. I say, and then a part of me say, "Well, just put the coat on and get another coat up and put it, get another coat." And another part of me said, "Nope." I said, "I'm going to find out why this zipper is not going forward, because everything on one side of it looked great. How it got there looked great. What was it that kept it from being stuck?" Then I'll become my seamstress ability. I'm lying to you. I'm no seamstress. Anyway, I flipped it over, and I looked, and I saw this piece of cloth stuck in the track. Everything else was fine. Before it and after it, it was just stuck. There are some things that you're going through, people saying wonderful things about you, and you have decent health, but there's a part in your life that gets stuck. Have you ever been, now? Well, just think of people being in that situation where you just can't get past what it is that keeps you and make you take your eyes off of God and start looking at what the world has. Stuck. And so we look at this. Let's start off with the first one. The twofold testimony. And so as we look at the first, his twofold testimony is simply this. As we observe the psalmist's testimony, consider the verbs and the personal pronouns used. Then ask yourself this question: is this the way I've been thinking? He said, "Surely," in the old King James, "truly God is good to Israel, to those who are of pure heart." He's saying the truth. He's a worship leader. He's there in a tribe of Leviticus, Levites. He's all of that. And yet still he says, "Truly God is good to Israel." Is that true? Amen. But wait a minute. Here come that conductor with a function. "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps have nearly slipped." Here I am. Here I am in front of all of these people, and they're praising God and thanking me for coming up with the various songs and everything else. And in those quiet moments, I had my own struggles. So how did that happen? He says, "For I envied." That it didn't say I looked at the arrogant. It said I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He says, here's where I got stuck. When I took my eyes of what God had given me, when I overlooked all that the privilege that I had, and I got stuck. Ever been that way in life? Have you that's why it's so dangerous, saints of God, to be locked into Facebook and all these other things. I mean, they serve their purpose, and it's good. Thank you. That's really nice. But you know what? There are times when you say, "I'm stuck. I'm stuck in this area." And then you start listening to the advice of other folks who don't even know the Lord. You want to look at quotes. They have so many quotes out there, it's ridiculous. That you ask the question, how many of them know the Lord? And they're making those quotes. And then you follow them. And look at how many folks have prospered in the world, but the end, they're down and out. They begin to become forgotten. The great names, forgotten. He said, "But I envied these folks. I envied their lifestyle. It seemed like they're so happy. Well, they're supposed to smile on television." Okay, you make a commercial with a frown. You have to smile. You have to jump around and everything else. Folks doesn't know if you just saying, "Take this product, it'll be good for you." They wouldn't even touch that product. They want somebody who's athletic, music going on, hand clapping, and some of the songs that you, and there's something you can remember way back where they just put that little beat to it, and you know, it takes two hands to handle a what? Whopper. Say, oh, and see, and all the things that's behind it. And guess what? He says, I saw them prospering, I saw them making it in life. And he said, my foot, it almost slipped. I saw what the world was doing. I saw how they were prospering. And I was willing to step down from being a choir director and walk away from God. He said, I've struggled. I don't know where you're struggling at, but what keeps you from not bringing your A game into God's presence? What did God do that would prevent that? And that's why you hear me say, sometimes we walk around with unrealistic expectations. Here's what I expect God to do. And when God does not do it, then we get discouraged, and then we turn and bite the hand that feeds us. And this is what's happening here. We're looking at a man that struggled. We had to go through his struggle before we see his triumph. So we're walking through it. Bear with me as we walk through his struggles. He said, I had a struggle. And then he began to lay this thing laying out. Let's go. He says, in the media business, everything must look appealing, but they are time sensitive, limited, and usually not the whole picture. Through the eyes of a backslider, the truth about God was undeniable. He's good to Israel. The flesh, old nature, assessed from an opinion, not the word of God. The apparent lifestyle of the unbeliever seems to be appealing. You know, one thing about if you go the route of the unbeliever, number one, it's time sensitive and it's going to stop when you die. Number two, if you are blessed, it's limited and depends on your circumstances. Number three, God is outside of the will of God. Therefore, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not what? Hear me. You want to envy the world, what they're going through? You rather have that than Jesus? But you know, sometimes we just want, I just want to be comfortable. Well, the Lord said, well, you'll be comfortable. But understand something. If Jesus suffered, guess what's going to happen to you and me? We're going to suffer. How do you handle suffering? If you can handle suffering, then you have no problem handling the blessings. So there are times when you'll be struggling. And God watched the test to see how you come out. And so, consider this. Based on his observation, he probably had a hard time knowing the Lord and the lack of retribution that should have taken place on the wicked. He may have assumed and started down the slippery slopes of despair. Lord, these folks are doing all of this and you haven't done anything. He started making the comparison. These folks are making it in life. They have houses in two or three countries, and they, I mean, they have servants and money, and they're just walking around like the world is in their hands. And then I watch, and I'm looking over to Africa and all the other areas where people are starving, and Lord, I don't understand. And you know what? God does not explain anything to us when our mind is on him in the first place. They're making a list. Be careful not to compare yourself to anybody else. You are who you are because God wants you to be who you are. You're going through what he wants you to go through. Joni Erickson, the daughter, what she's going through and all of the challenges, and there's others, Lord, that list is long. It's long. And you know what? They might not get relief on this side of life. I think about Kevin Thomas and all that he went through. And as much as he loved music, his speaker went out on him and all these other things. And he had a number of challenges. He didn't come before the congregation for complaining about it. But it was real. Taking care of his parents, both of his parents, at the same time. He didn't bring it in front of the congregation. He spoke to a few friends. His eyes getting worse and worse. What do you do? It's not what you're doing, it's what God is doing. You should see, well, we will. We should see Kevin now. He's on the other side of things. And he have said goodbye to the land of all that is called the no more. No more sorrows, no more pain, no more difficulties, no more hunger, no more restlessness, no more misunderstanding. But there are some things that he wants to prepare us for. Remember, God is asking us and he's getting us ready for the appearance of Jesus Christ. And we look at Philippians 1:6. God is doing that. And as he prepares us to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's some things that he's getting out of our life, things that don't belong in our life. And some of us have to go through the storms. And sometimes we get hung up on that. And so, number two, his tremendous struggle. The psalmist's observation was enough to distract, assume, and make a judgment on the obvious. He observed their health. They have no struggle with their death, and their bodies are well fed. He's looking at it. I mean, he's looking close, isn't he? And when he says envy, he didn't say he looked at them. No, he envied. To envy means you look, pondered on it. He says, I envy them, and I look at their health. And boy, the insurance company don't even need to be around them. They're looking so healthy. How is it they can maintain something like this? He observed their lack of stress and obvious pride. They are free of the burdens of others carry. They are not afflicted like other men. Therefore, pride is in their necklace. Is their necklace a garment of violence covers them? They feel that the Lord is there, the world is their oyster, and there's nothing that can stop them. They go on television shows, area of media, and they give advice as if, you know, I'm the person. Look at me. I'm intelligent. I have all that it takes. I was looking at a clip where this man had everything going for him, everything going for him, until the Lord permitted this man had a brain aneurysm. To have a brain aneurysm will shut your system down. Through these years, now I walk with my sister when she had a brain aneurysm. What it did to her ability to think, write, talk, every week. Either I call her or she calls me. And I know that she's limited in how she thinks. She's smart. But you see, there was a twitch in the brain. That's all it took. And they've tried everything. And now she has to live with where she's at. He said, these folks, they have it all, and they think that when it comes down to health, they can talk about health, they can talk about money, and then I envy them because it looks like, not is, it looks like they're doing okay. He said, and my foot did almost slip because these folks were looking like they were really doing a great bang up job. You see, here's the problem. He was looking so close at what the people were doing, he took his eyes off the Lord. And so he was image managing. He envied the sinner almost wanting to be like them. And then on at the time of worshiping the Lord, he got in front of all of these folks and praised the Lord. He's high and mighty. And then once he finished that, he goes back into the hole. He said, my foot did almost slip. And I wanted to walk away from it all. My Levitical status, my ability to encourage the saints of God, my ability to talk with God in prayer. You know what that left him with? He was prayerless. There was no peace. He said, this thing was tearing me up. How can I do this? How did I get to this point? So when I say, when it comes down, are you a backslider? Oh, forget about what the world is doing. Are you taking your eyes off of God and going by your agenda and now you're frustrated? And God is saying, listen to the psalmist. He's giving a testimony. You do not have a testimony if you have not been tested. And he's doing a testimony here. He said, truly God's good to Israel and to those who are of pure heart. But then for me, my foot that almost slipped, my steps were well nigh gone. I wanted to just give it up. He was no fool to say I was going to do suicide. No, the thing is, sometimes the blessing is just to keep your mouth shut. And the Lord says, here's what the Lord tells us to do. Be still and know, not think, contemplate, know that I am God. I know where you come from. I know your struggles you have. I know what you don't share with folks because you want to keep it private. I know everything about you and what you're going to do. He says, be still and know that I am God. And being God means I'm in complete control of everything, everything. Now, if God is in complete control of everything, then that's why he turns around and says, rejoice in the Lord, what? Again, I say, the other psalmist says, I have fainted as I fail to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. No, he strengthens your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But he said, I was past the state of just waiting. I have to do something. That did not see. Here's what happened. When he took his eyes off the Lord, he slipped into an area of remember the world, the flesh, and the devil. He now fall into the world, his own flesh. And I've shared with you, I think before, the whole idea is that the flesh is not dead. It has been dethroned, but not dead. To the Lord, I don't think so. Well, then why do you have to confess your sins to the Lord? Huh? If we sin, we must confess our sins to the Lord. So the whole idea is this: the flesh is battling you and me, and it will battle you until the day we die. The only difference is that it has been dethroned. It doesn't control us. We can say no to it. And the psalmist says, my foot did almost slip. I was listening to my flesh, how I feel, what I think with no real truth. He says, while I was doing that, I was going down the slippery slopes away from God. From the prosperity proceeds iniquity. The imagination of the heart run wild. They mock and speak with malice and ignorance, they threaten oppression, they set their mouths against heavens, and their tongues strut across earth. Oh boy, they have a lot to say, don't they? They have a lot to say. And all through all of this, what's bothering him is, God wants you to do something. Why don't you stop these folks? And God is even solid with us. You know what? It's not whether I stop them now or later. And it's not whether I answer your prayer this way today. It will not help you to grow. How about thinking in another way? Lord, I see all the things that's going on. I praise you that you're still in control and will always be in control of my worst enemy. and my best friend. So it says they set their mouths against the heavens, and the mouths against the heavens, and their tongues strut across the earth. We go to the next slide then. So their people return to their place and drink up waters of abundance. The wicked say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? Oh boy. I mean, now you hear stupidness going all over the place here. Behold, these are the wicked. Always, because he's observing this, always carefree as they increase in their wealth. He says, I was resentful of that. He says, I envied that. On this, at the same time, on my job as Levitical songstress, my job was to lead the people in worship. Meanwhile, I'm holding this in with unbelief and distrust and getting ready to walk out on God. It all took place, saints, not because of the sinners. It took place because of where his heart was. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it to thy throne above. We're almost there. His mental turmoil and dilemma. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and innocent. I have washed my hands. The word for means, here's the reason why. For I am afflicted all day long and punished every morning. If I say I will speak this way, then I will betray your children. When I tried to understand all of this, it was troublesome in my sight. The whole idea is, you see the trail of I, all the way through that. I have kept my heart. I'm afflicted. I would speak this way. He said, I'm not, I would have betrayed the children. I tried to understand. He said, I'm struggling with this thing, and there's no one who can come forth to help me out of this dilemma. How do I match up to what my calling and my position? I struggle with this. And we need to answer his question, his situation. That's why part three comes up. But so the Asaph, the Levite, he was a Levite. He was appointed by David to lead God's people in praise and worship. He was a musician. He found himself in a state of depression. He neglected his position assigned to his life. He reached the end of his observation and opinions. He was stripped of his joy. He was stripped of his peace. He seemed to have neglected to pray. He was in an atmosphere, and frame of mind that excluded hope. He's the songwriter. He's the musician. He's the director. And he said, I'm stuck. I have nowhere to go. Well, what do you expect if you don't pray? Did you see anywhere along the line as we read part of this that he prayed? That he asked God? And so if you want to stay where you are and going through your conflicts and everything else, all you have to do is leave God out of the picture, and you keep on trying to figure it out and listen to your unsaved and immature believers' words and everything else. You had that, and guess what? You're going to stay stuck like that zipper that I tried to free up. You're stuck. Not because you're useless, because you have been hindered from reaching your best in the Lord. That's where it's at. Stuck. And so one last thing. I believe that Satan will try every trick in his book and use anyone or thing to entice us to step out of God's command and will for our lives. Asaph always say a prayer. Always say a prayer. Jesus Christ has told us that men should always pray and not faint. How do I know that the world is getting the best of me? Check out the prayer life. Check out the focus. Check out what you want instead of understanding what God can do. Okay? I think that is so important. And so as we bow in prayer, maybe God is speaking to your heart. Let's pray. Father, I just want to pray for those who have heard my voice. I want to pray for each individual and where they're going to. Great is your faithfulness. There might be one on the sound of my voice or even the message to be recorded that do not realize that it all starts and end with you. Jesus made it very clear, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, which is, which was, and which is to come. It's Jesus who came in the flesh and born of a virgin. He died on the cross of Calvary. His death, where he died, he rose again to prove that he has power over death. And he requires that each individual believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe that, Lord, I'm a sinner, I cannot save myself. God can only do that in Christ. If you can do that, say, Lord, help me to be one of yours. I hereby turn it over to you. To the believers, to the family, to those of you who come to church or wherever the case may be, virtue, or however you have paid attention to this, my prayer for you. Father, I pray now for the saints of God to go to the mirror and be honest with themselves. And then, Lord, readjust whatever is not flowing with your will and to align it so it'll make you look good. We have yet to see in this life what happens to each one of us when the Holy Spirit takes complete control. And you have told us to walk in the Spirit, and that we are not to walk according to the flesh. And so, Lord, I just pray right now for our CBF family. I pray, Lord, that the impact of just the ones here, how all, it only takes one seed in the right place to make a difference. Help us to be just that. We love you, Lord. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the saints say,